My name is Marie Salazar, and I'm talking with Eunice Harper in Greenup County, Kentucky. Today's date is August 6, 1986. Are you agreeable to being interviewed on tape?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you spell your full name for me, Eunice?
E-U-N-I-C-E, V-I-R-G-I-N-I-A. H-A-R-P-E-R.
Are you married?
I am a widow.
You're a widow? And what was your husband's name, Eunice?
James Clifford Harper.
And could you spell his name for me?
J-A-M-E-S C-L-I-F-F-O-R-D H-A-R-P-E-R.
And how long were you married?
We were married in 1936. He passed away in 1975.
In 1975? Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you work?
I am retired.
And what did you do?
I was a school person. I was principal, was a guidance director, and I was superintendent of schools.
In Greenup County?
Did all my teaching in Greenup County except 12 years in Souda County and Portsmouth, Ohio schools.
Mm-hmm. You've had a long career then, haven't you?
Ma'am. 46 years teaching.
46 years? You must have loved it.
I did. Enjoyed every minute of it.
Wonderful. What did your husband do?
He was a conductor on the North Fork and Western Railroad,
mm-hmm.
working from Portsmouth, Ohio to Columbus, Ohio.
I see. And how about children? Do you have children?
We have no children.
No children?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And what is the address here where we are now, your home?
My street number is 4609 Ridge Street, but we do not have mail delivery, so my post office box is 65 South Shore, Kentucky.
Okay, and the zip code?
41175.
Okay. How long have you lived here?
Since 1941. That makes it 45 years.
45 years, uh-huh. And where did you live before that?
I lived in Wortland, Kentucky.
And how do you spell that?
W-U-R-T-L-A-N-D. It is approximately 20 miles east of South Shore.
And what county would that be in?
It's in Greenup County.
Greenup
also.
County. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that where you were born?
No, ma'am. I was born in a little rural section. We went by the name of what the school was called, Low Gap.
Low Gap?
L-O-W-G-A-P.
And was that close to Wortland?
That was approximately 5 miles from Greenup, which is the county seat, and Wortland is approximately 4 miles east of Greenup.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me a little bit about your parents. What were their names?
My father was Thomas Milton Mitchell. And my mother was Carrie Burgess Mitchell.
Okay, and would you spell their names for me, please?
T-H-O-M-A-S M-I-L-T-O-N M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L. And my mother was C-A-R-R-I-E B-U-R-G-E-S-S M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L.
Okay, and where were they from?
They were from Greenup County. They were born, one was at Low Gap and the other one, rural community, Raccoon.
Raccoon? Okay.
Just like the animal.
And where were you born then?
At Low Gap.
At Low Gap. And your birth date?
January 2, 1910.
1910, which makes you 76.
76 as of now.
Okay. And you went to school in Low Gap?
had all of my elementary education at Lodep.
And where did you go to school from there?
I went first to Grayson, Kentucky, to Christian Normal Institute. Mm-hmm. Did my first and second year high school. Then I went to Greenup High School for my junior and senior year. Graduated from high school in 1926.
And after high school?
I went to Moorhead to school, and it was Moorhead State Normal that time, but now it is Moorhead University.
I see. And did you continue after Moorhead? Did you go on?
Yes, ma'am. After I had completed, I vacationed through the summer for 2 years. Then I went to Duke University at Durham, North Carolina during the summer and got my master's degree from Duke University.
And you have a master's degree in?
In administration.
In administration?
School administration.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Did your mother quilt?
Yes, ma'am. She did it because she liked to sew, but also because of necessity. Our home was not heated. We had one big room with a fireplace in it, and we needed quilts for comfort at night.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me.
Go ahead.
She did it in this big room, and we all watched her from infancy up doing quilting.
Mm-hmm. Now you say we. Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, ma'am. I was the second in a family of six.
Six, okay.
One sister older.
And what was her name?
Edna Lang. Edna Mitchell Lang.
Okay, is that L-A-N-G?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Then I had three brothers, Albert Mitchell, A-L-B-E-R-T, Arthur Mitchell, A-R-T-H-U-R, and my brother Arthur is deceased. Then Ora Mitchell, my brother, O-R-R-A, and then the baby one is a girl, Majel, M-A-J-E-L.
Mm-hmm.
And she is Majel Rice now.
Mm-hmm. Do they all live in the area in Greenup County?
All of us do except Majel. And she lives in Wrightsville, Georgia.
Oh my, she's a...
She left us.
Uh-huh.
But she comes home often.
Does she?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did your mother teach you how to quilt?
Yes, ma'am. We started at a very early age, piecing little four-patch blocks. And it was all out of old material, because we just take clothing that had worn out, and we could cut and sew as much as we wanted to with that. And if we did not get it right, we had to take it out and do it over. And then eventually she let us begin to sew seams on the quilt she was doing. And then we had to quilt our own at first. And when we learned, she would let us take some stitches on her quilts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know whether she took them out at first, but if we did them wrong later, we took them out.
Okay, how old were you, do you think, when you started quilting?
Oh, I imagine I was... maybe 8 or 10 when I started.
Did you make doll quilts or regular size quilts?
We just mostly made just the small ones at the time when mm-hmm. we started for the dolls
mm-hmm.
to cover them with.
Do you remember the first quilt, I guess, either that you made for yourself or that your mother let you quilt on, you know, when she thought you were good enough to do piecing on her quilt? Do you remember what pattern it was?
No, ma'am.
No?
Uh-uh. You're not.
Mm-hmm. About how many quilts would you say that you've made?
Perhaps altogether I haven't done more than about 25.
25? Now, are most of those pieced, or do you have pieced quilts and applique?
I have both.
Both?
Mm-hmm.
Which do you prefer?
Really, I don't make that much difference in them. It's all the pattern that I want to do.
When you're piecing, do you piece by hand or by machine?
I today do most, if I can at all, I piece by machine. But when I started, and most of mine were done by hand, because at that time, the public opinion was that a quilt was to be done by hand from beginning to end in mm-hmm. our area. But now I've learned to do more of them by machine.
Mm-hmm. When you applique, what kind of a stitch do you use to applique?
Well, I don't know whether I know a name to it or not. When I applique, I just, what I learned from my mother is to take very tiny stitches, and I suppose it's a Hawaiian today. You turn it under and applique then with the same color thread that you are appliquing the piece.
Okay. What are some of your favorite patterns?
Well, of course, I think you realize my favorite is my Lincoln's favorite. And I like the double wedding ring, single wedding ring, the flower garden, the little Dutch girl. Very fond of a little Scotty dog that my mother bought a pattern for, and then I worked it to applique it instead of piecing it. And really, I'm fond of practically any pattern.
Where do you get your patterns?
Really, I do not know where the first ones came from there. My Lincoln's favorite, I saw that one at the World Fair in Chicago and liked it, and I wrote the lady at Horse Cave, Kentucky. I do not recall her name, and I do not have it. And she sent me the pattern. Of course, I paid her for it. And my mother was so good. She usually just made patterns, even making our clothes. She didn't buy patterns to make our clothing with. She'd just see something and she'd make it.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned that. Just to fix whatever she fixed for us, we did those kind of patterns. Now, I buy books, and I take a little of this pattern, a little of this one, I put them together, and work like that.
Mm-hmm. So you sometimes make up your own pattern?
Yes, I will get them. I'll have an idea, and I have an idea in this book and this one, and combine them and get my own.
Uh-huh. What books do you, you're talking about getting patterns from books. What books do you get these from?
The ones that I use most now are copies of Georgia Bonesteel's books. And then I get all magazines through the mail, the Southern Farmer. Has patterns in it that I have ordered to get ideas from, and from magazines that I pick up at the various bookstores, and from pattern books. Wherever I see a book, I look through it to see if I like it.
You mentioned Georgia Bonesteel. Do you remember the names of the books?
Yes, it's Lap Quilting and More Lap Quilting.
Lap Quilting and More Lap Quilting. When you're making your patterns, do you use a template
Yes, ma'am.
And what do you use to make your templates with?
Well, right at this time, the most of them are made from discarded x-ray papers from the hospitals.
Oh, I see.
Of course, there is the material that you can buy to make it, but I have a friend, and when these x-rays are to be discarded, she supplies me with that, and I use that.
And why do you like this material?
Because it is firm enough until when you lay it on your material, you can hold it, and your pattern does not slip, and it makes your pattern accurate.
Do you prefer any particular fabrics?
I prefer 100% cotton.
And why do you prefer the cotton?
I feel that it is better material to make a quilt with. It makes a prettier quilt, and it lasts longer.
Where do you get your fabric?
Mostly at Peace Goods Shop in Portsmouth, Ohio, or the Stitchery. They're the two best places closest home. And that's where I normally shop today.
How about colors? Do you have a favorite color?
I suppose that it would be the earth tones, the browns and tans, and combination of those. Even though my Lincoln's favorite, two colors of pink, at that time that was my color that I wanted.
Tell me a little bit about your Lincoln's favorite.
Well, the Lincoln's favorite I did when I was teaching in a one-room school at Low Gap with all eighth grades.
In one room?
In one room. My own janitor, my own everything. If a window light broke out, you went in, superintendent gave you an order, and you got the glass for it, took it out, put the window pane in yourself. No one else did anything for you. And my mother helped with cutting the pieces. I would say the blocks are approximately 15 inches square, and they have around 320 pieces to the square. And I pieced one square a week. A week I pieced. It took me 9 weeks to piece the blocks. Then the plain blocks are the same size as the piece that makes a square quilt. And then I started quilting, and I can't tell you exactly how long it took because I meant for this to be a showpiece when I got it finished. And the stitches are very, very small. And my fingers would bleed. I would have to let them heal, then start quilting. So I can't tell you how long I was quilting. And I'm very proud of that one quilt.
And you say you got the pattern for this. You had seen it at the World's Fair in Chicago. What year was that?
1933.
And a woman from Horse Cave.
Horse Cave, Kentucky.
Had a quilt like it in the...
And it had won second place in the National Quilt Show. And it was on display at the World Fair.
And you don't remember her name?
I'm sorry that I don't.
Have you... You said you meant this to be a showpiece. Have you ever entered this quilt or other quilts in a county fair or any kind of a show?
Yes, ma'am. I entered that one in the county fair, and it, of course, had the blue ribbon. Then a few years later, they had all of the blue ribbon quilts to be entered at the fair, and I entered and got the blue ribbon the second time at our county fair in Greenup County.
So it got the blue ribbon of all the blue ribbon quilts.
Right.
Okay.
And then approximately 3 years ago, the Souda, Adams County, the counties in Ohio were having a quilt show. Since I did not live in Ohio, I called the extension agent in Souda County and asked if they would object to my bringing my quilt for a show. They were very happy to have it. I entered it, and at that time, Athens University from Athens, Ohio, had representatives going to all of these 10 or 12 districts in Ohio picking out quilts that they call patterns worth repeating.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to Scioto County and judged their quilts. And even though I didn't live in Scioto County, my quilt was chosen, taken to Athens for display at the Dairy Barn in Athens, Ohio. And it hung there for 2 months with approximately 100 other quilts.
And what year was this, you must remember?
I would say that it was approximately 3 years ago, so that'd make it about 85.
Uh-huh.
No way. Three from
86
would be three, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. 83?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then another time, the presidential election, which was the last presidential election we had, they were having a display at the Capitol building, the old Capitol building at Frankfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I had taken my quilt to Moorhead to the Quilt Symposium. And the people in the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society had seen it there. So they asked me if I would let mine, since it was politically named, to let it hang in the building at Frankfort during the presidential campaign election. And it was entered there, in the old Capitol building.
I remember that.
And I'm thankful to the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society for letting me do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, that there was a catalog published of that show, and your quilt is in that catalog?
Yes, ma'am. I quilted in that catalog, and at the time that it was there, the American Quilt Society, it was being formed, I believe, and I received a call when I grant permission for them to photograph my quilt and put it in the National Quilt magazine. And I granted permission, and it is in that also.
Okay, and that's from the American Quilter Society out of Paducah?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. So it's also in the political and campaign quilt catalog from the show, and I believe that was 1984.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was in Frankfurt.
It's in Frankfurt.
Mm-hmm. You're famous, Eunice.
Well, I didn't know that. That quilt is.
And what about the quilt maker who made it? Do you ever sign your quilts?
I haven't. I have that one dated. The date is quilted in, and it is going to have the name quilted in.
And you're going to do that?
I have it on a tape or a piece of cloth on the back of it, but I'm going to quilt it in because that will be permanent.
That's right.
The other piece can be taken off.
Have you ever displayed the quilt anywhere else?
No, other than to quilting classes or quilt guilds, as far as just displaying it for the public, no.
Did you have it at Moorhead this year?
No, ma'am. Oh, yes, I did. It was displayed at the Button Auditorium at Moorhead during the Appalachian Celebration.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody see it there?
There were several that did, and when I went through, Shirley Hamilton, who was the coordinator of it, said that some lady had asked her to inquire of me if I would sell it, and that Shirley told her that she didn't imagine that it was for sale, and she said the lady said, well, ask her, and the price, just any price. And it isn't for sale for any price.
For any price. It means a great deal to you, doesn't
it? Yes,
it
does.
Have you ever sold any of your quilts?
No, ma'am.
No?
I'm giving them away to my sister-in-law, my nephews, to a friend. but I've never sold any.
Why wouldn't you sell one of your quilts?
To me, they are too valuable, and I do not feel that people would want to pay the price that I think they're worth.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever entered any other of your quilts in a show or exhibited them anywhere?
I have a sampler that I completed a year ago, and I have entered it in the county fair, and it won a blue ribbon.
And that was a sampler quilt?
Sampler.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little better than 2 years in doing it. A little magazine that I take, Work Basket, came out with a block a month, and I started it. And of course, a block a month would take you almost 2 years to get your magazines. And then I did some other things in between times, too. So it took me a little better than 2 years to do it.
Getting back to, maybe color in a quilt, have you ever heard any superstitions or about quilts or about the use of any color, particular color in a quilt, for example, red or black?
No, I've never heard of superstitions. I've heard a lot of people say you wouldn't want to use black in a quilt. But
Now, why did they say that?
Well, they just said that it reminded them of morbid things like death or something like that. To me, it doesn't. I don't object to any color in the quilt.
Okay.
And as far as superstitions, we never heard much of that in our household. Everything was on the bright side instead of on the dark.
Mm-hmm. There is a superstition when a quilt was finished, they would, all the young girls, if they were making like a bridal quilt, all of the young girls would gather around after the quilt had been quilted and put a cat in the center and bounce the cat on the quilt, and then the one that would scare the cat and the one that he ran out closest to would be the next one to get married.
Yes.
Now, have you heard that one?
I've heard that, but we never tried it.
You never tried that?
No.
Okay. We talked a little bit about the materials that you use. You like to use the cotton fabric. What kind of a batting or a filler do you like to use for your quilts?
The majority of mine have Mountain Mist.
Mountain Mist. Now, is that the polyester bat?
Part of it is, but most of it is just, really, I don't know. It's what comes in the big bundle. You spread it out.
Okay. Okay. So you like to use the Mountain Mist batting. Now, what do you use to back your quilts with?
Well, I bought the regular quilt backings that come wide enough for the quilt until they do not have to have a seam. I have used the unbleached muslin. And really, if you use bleached muslin, which I did on some of my quilts, as they got older, they became a little yellowed. But if you use unbleached muslin, and if you wash them, they get whiter all the time, where bleach gets darker. And the one that I'm going to do, I have a top piece now that is a spider web. And I'm going to back it with a print.
With a print.
Mm-hmm. The green, the little, it is mainly, the predominant is green, and the backing has a little tiny green arrangement in it.
So this time you're going to be using a print to back your quilts.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, when you're ready to quilt, What do you use to, do you use anything in particular to mark your quilts for quilting?
When I was doing my first quilting, and my mother was doing it, we used chalk. I would bring a little piece home from school. But today, I use the erasable pencil, or the discarded pieces of soap.
Oh, you like to use the soap slivers?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are very good.
Okay. Where do you get your quilting designs?
I have several books that have designs. Georgia Bonesteel has a lot in them. The booklets that I have won when I've gone to Moorhead to the Quilt Symposium have patterns in those. I see pictures in coloring books for children. And I watch newspapers. If there is a pattern in it that I like, I copy that. And I get leaves if I want. I just go out in the yard and pick up leaves, and I'll trace the pattern. If I want to quilt a leaf pattern, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, any place that I can find something that I think is suitable, that's what I use.
What type of thread do you use for piecing and for your quilting?
For the piecing, if I'm sewing on the machine, I use the regular thread for sewing, but I try to match the thread to the material that I am using. And then for quilting, this one that has my spider web, that I'm going to have the green on the back, I'm going to quilt it with green quilting thread also. But I use the quilting thread for quilting.
Now, would this be the first one that you've used the color thread?
Yes,
the
ma'am.
Colored quilting
this
thread?
This will be the first one with the color.
How do you usually finish your quilts?
I normally use the bias binding. There is the border that is put around
mm-hmm.
it. The corners are mitered. And then I use the bias binding. And I have learned now that the binding should be doubled. My first ones had single bindings. But I have learned from my various readings and my classes I have attended that it should be doubled, because it makes it, the binding is the first thing to wear out.
Do you purchase binding, or do you make your own?
I make my own.
You make your own?
Mm-hmm. The purchase binding does not match my material.
Mm-hmm.
And I buy ample material. I'd rather have it left over than to run out. So I buy material enough so that I can cut my bias bindings. And I sew it onto the top of the quilt and then sew it by hand on the backing.
On the back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you quilt, what kind of a stitch do you use? Do you quilt in a frame?
Well,
a hoop, or?
I learned to quilt when my mother was teaching us. She had the rod that she put her quilt on, and then there were hooks into the ceiling, and then ropes came down, and we sat around that quilt and quilted. Then my brother made a set of quilting frames that I'm using. I have a quilt in it now. I don't know that I'll ever get it quilted, but I have one in it. And I quilt with the quilting frame. I also have the quilting hook. I have a quilt basted to do in that one. And I do my lap quilting by basting the pieces and just holding it in my lap and quilting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use anything to hold it. I just baste it.
Do you feel the quilts are quilted as tight, or you get as nice a look to the quilt when you're lap quilting? Or do you feel there's a difference between the lap quilting and having something quilted in a frame or a hoop?
No, I haven't noticed that much.
Okay.
And of course, if you're doing it a lap quilting, you can have a hoop that you can use for your lap quilting, a smaller hoop, or there are little frames that people make, like for the size of a pillow top, just little wooden strips, and then they have the little fasteners that they can move those around. I don't have one because I just basted mine.
Mm-hmm.
Done them that way.
How much time do you think you spend quilting now?
Oh, really, as of now, I haven't spent, except working on this quilt here, I perhaps have let up some of my time on quilting. I'm trying to do so many other things.
It gets to be a problem, doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
When you quilt, do you have a particular spot, a certain spot that you like to, a certain room that you like to quilt in, or favorite?
Well, really not. I suppose that my living room, and I, going into motels, I was very fascinated with the rocker and a half, so I bought me a rocker and a half.
Now, what is a rocker and a half?
It's one that has the wide seat in it instead of just the narrow. It's wide.
Okay.
Almost two people could sit in.
Okay.
And with using that, and I tell everyone that I have my little sewing nest in the corner of my room, and I have a little corner, and I'll lay it down there. But then I will go to the kitchen, and if I have something that's cooking and I'm watching, I move it into the kitchen. I do a lot of my work at the dining room table, and I just work all over my house.
All over.
Since I live alone, I lay it down, go on about something else, come back, pick it up, and go on.
Is there any particular time of day that you like to quilt?
No, ma'am.
Would you like to work on your quilts? Mm-mm.
Just whenever I have the time.
How about embroidery? Have you ever done any cross stitch, or do you ever embroider anything on your quilts?
Yes, ma'am. The first Dutch girl that I did, I embroidered all of their bonnets with a different pattern. I have not done a cross-stitch quilt. Mine have been, and I've done pillows mostly that I've done like that. I've never done a big quilt.
You said you don't really sign your quilts, but you intend to sign the Lincoln's favorite. How are you going to sign this?
I'm going to write my name on the quilt, Eunice Harper, and quilt all of my name on it.
Okay. Now, you make up some of your own designs by combining patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you do this?
Because I think I like this part of this one. I don't like the balance of it, so I'll take the part I like from this one and put it with the one I like over here to get what I want.
So you're being creative.
Well, in a way, but I'm using other people's ideas, but just changing and putting them together differently.
Did you ever quilt for other people?
No, ma'am.
For the same reason that you don't sell your quilts?
I don't have time to do that for other people.
Can you tell me, Eunice, what, in your opinion, makes a good quilt?
Well, I think that a good quilt is good material, good workmanship. And that makes a good quilt.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever taught anyone to quilt?
Yes. In the various clubs that we're in. I'm in our homemakers club, and I went to our camp several years ago. Right after I retired, I joined the homemakers, and they asked me to go to Grayson, Kentucky at the camp and teach. And I taught a class that had maybe 25 people in it there. And then at our quilt guild, there have been some that have not been able. We organized that. This is the third year for it in Greenham County.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some of the people there that haven't been able to quilt. And we have helped there. And then this week, I started Monday teaching a class in Flatwoods, Kentucky. I had 9 people for a Monday class. I had 13 people for our class last night, and many of those people cannot quilt, so we are having a 4-week class for each one of those.
Now, this where you're teaching, is it a school connected with a school?
No, it is connected with a monogram and quilt shop. The lady has just opened a new business selling quilting supplies. And so many people had asked her. She does not do hand quilting. She does machine quilting. And so many people wanted to know hand quilting, so she said that someone had given her my name, and she called me and asked me if I would assist. So I am.
Now, are you just teaching the quilting, or?
We're starting with the selecting or making a pattern. Of course, I selected a pattern for this, and how to mark their patterns, how to make their templates, how to cut their material, and to put them together. Then we will be quilting after they get that done. They're going to make a wall hanging.
A wall hanging?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, is this just one block that they will be doing?
No, they plan to do, in fact, when I showed the owner of the shop my wall hanging of my churn dash, she wanted them to have that, so we're using the churn dash pattern, and they're going to do the 6-piece blocks, 6 inches square.
6 inches square?
Mm-hmm. Each block.
Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy teaching?
Yes, ma'am.
The quilting? Oh, I know you spent 46 years while you really enjoyed, but teaching the quilting, do you enjoy that?
I enjoy that too.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard the term Kentucky quilt?
Kentucky quilt?
If I said Kentucky quilt to you, would that...
Well, yes, the thing that would come to me would be one. I don't know if it's the same thing or not, but right now, the Quilt Society, Kentucky Heritage, is doing a Kentucky quilt, I believe. That's what comes to my mind, and they're making it and writing the name of every county on it. And I thought, that's the Kentucky quilt you're talking about.
The Kentucky chain pattern?
Mm-hmm. Kentucky chain, that's what I think of.
That's what you would think of?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there another?
We're just interested to find out whether or not people, if we say Kentucky quilt, if any particular pattern comes to mind. Have you ever heard the term split the quilt? Maybe long ago?
No, ma'am, I don't believe I have.
You've never heard that term?
Okay. What does it mean?
That's what we're trying to find out, what it means to people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said long ago that you used to sit around the quilting frame, you know, with your mother. Did you ever go to a quilting bee? Were there other people who came to quilt, or have you ever attended a quilting bee?
I have never, but my mother did, and I would go and watch them quilt. When I was principal of the Elementary School at Wortland.
Mm-hmm.
The ladies' aide of the Methodist Church wanted a room to quilt, and we had one room that had been condemned for classroom use. So they came, and it was just across the hall from my room that I taught sixth grade. And when they would come to quilt, I would go in and watch them. But I never did really go and help that way. With our quilt guild, I did go and help quilt on the last one. We have one now that is the Dresden Plate that our quilt guild has just finished. And I went to a home of one of the members and helped quilt on that.
Did you have it set in a frame?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
We quilted from both sides. And
did you enjoy that?
I really did. Of course, I'm one that when I go places, I go to enjoy it. Had a good time.
Now, you mentioned that you belong to the Quilt Guild in your county, and this is the Greenup County Quilters Guild?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you belong to any other quilt guilds or organizations?
The only other two are the Kentucky Heritage Quilt and the American Quilting Society.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm president of our local guild right now.
And how long has that been in existence?
This is its third year.
The third year?
Ruby Malk was the first president she served, and I, at this particular time, I'm the president.
You're the president. So you, Ruby served for
2 years.
2 years, mm-hmm. And then you'll be serving for two?
Two.
And how many people belong to this?
Approximately 21.
21?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a quilt that was made by a man?
Yes,
do men quilt?
Yes, ma'am. There were quilts at on display. The stained glass window that mm-hmm. Was the famous showing of those, and it was at the museum in Ashland. And there were quilts there that had been done in stained glass by men. And then at our symposium at Moorhead this year, there was a gentleman there that quilts, and he had his quilts on display and gave us a slide presentation of the things that he had done. Yes, men quilt.
Do you think men quilt any differently than women? Do you notice any difference in the work?
No. In fact, I did not examine that at Moorhead that closely, but I did at Ashland. And if they hadn't have had a home there that had been done by a man, you would know.
Okay. Why do you quilt, Eunice?
I suppose it was a love of it that was given to me through my dear mother, and she taught us the value of handmade items,
mm-hmm.
and how we could utilize, if we had any spare time, we were not supposed to be wasteful of our time. We played as we were growing up, but we were also taught that there were values that had to come in, and that we were not supposed to play all the time. We were supposed to do worthwhile things. And I have continued with that. In fact, today I don't have time to do all the things I want to do.
We'll have to live to be 1,000 at least, won't we?
Maybe 2,000.
How does your family feel about your quilting?
They're all very proud, and every time they see one, they say, well, now, is my name on that one? And my Lincoln's favorite, my sister-in-law was here, And her name is Darwinia, Darwinia. And after it had all this showing and so forth, she said, "Do you know how to spell Darwinia?" And I said, "Yes, but it won't be on that one." But they're all very supportive of it.
Do you mind if I ask what you would like to do with that quilt?
I don't mind. I perhaps will not give you the name, because I'm going to live a long time, I think. Who all is going to hear these tapes? And I don't want the person who's going to get it to know it until they get it.
Oh, you can put that in, you know, if there's something that you do not want listed for any period of time, there's a release form that we have, and you can put that on the release. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, under those conditions, it could be put in later, but at this particular time, you know, you can always change your will if you want. But at this time, I finished this quilt in 1937, the year of the Great Ohio Flood.
Yes.
And that year, I had a niece and a nephew that were born in 37. But the nephew has been a precious young man. And as of now, his name is on that quilt. And he is the son of Darwinia.
Is that right?
And he is the son of my deceased brother, Arthur.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Has there been any change in people's attitudes about quilting?
I believe in the last few years there's been a big change. For several years there, you didn't hear anyone in our area talking quilts, scarcely. But now, practically everyone is. And the attitude, and I think as far as the value, those people that are beginning now to try to do some handwork on quilts, I believe they're beginning to realize the value of quilts.
What do you think brought about this change in attitude? Do you think anything triggered this change?
I really do not know, but I wondered if at the time that so many people, just the last few years, there have been so many people that have been unemployed. And I think that they have needed an outlet, plus they need to do things that doesn't require as much money, maybe as taking a 3 weeks vacation. They can do this at home. And many people today are staying much closer to home and doing more things at home than they did when they were more affluent.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, when we learned to quilt, it was of necessity, because we had only the ones, I told you, one room was heated. The rest of them we had. In fact, the quilts were almost too heavy to turn under.
Is that right?
And when we would visit our grandmother, which did quilting, we slept upstairs, and it was a log house. And when it would snow, when we would awaken in the morning, there would be snow on our bed.
Is that right?
And when we put our feet out on the floor, there was snow on the floor. But it wasn't deep, but it had sifted in.
Mm-hmm.
Through the cracks in the log house and in between the roof here, my grandfather made the clapboards that he put on the roof, and sometimes it would sift in under those and come down on our bed.
Did your grandmother quilt?
Yes, ma'am. And I have two of her quilts.
You have two of hers.
Mm-hmm.
How about your sisters?
My older sister, Edna, has quilts in it right now, and she is an invalid. She's been in a wheelchair for better than 20 years with muscular dystrophy, and she is also a retired teacher. But she now is doing a lap quilted one of colonial knots and fixing it, and she has it almost finished.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has one that's called the honeycomb that she did in the 30s, which is an outstanding quilt. It hasn't been shown like mine because she just has never taken to that. I go to all the fairs and so forth and everything, but she never did. That Magil has never quilted.
She never quilted.
No. She just waits and says, my name's supposed to be on that one. But she married very young and did not learn all of the crafts like we did, really.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you can think of, Eunice, that you would like to say about quilting?
Well, the only thing that I know is that if people haven't quilted, they do not really know the value or how much fun or the relaxation that it can be. And I think that anyone who has time, I can't imagine all of these people saying, I'm so bored, there's nothing to do. If they would just do some quilting, they'd find out how relaxing it is and they could enjoy it and have such a valuable finished product.
Mm-hmm. The only other thing I can think of that I possibly forgot to ask was what church you go to, Venus?
I attend the First Christian Church in South Shore.
The First Christian Church in South Shore. Mm-hmm. Do you have a quilt group there at your church?
No, ma'am.
No.
They've never had. And as of now, I am in my 24th year of perfect attendance at Sunday school.
Is that right?
And I have taught a Sunday school class all of that time.
Oh, how wonderful. That's something to be very proud of.
But we started just church and Sunday school as babes in arms. He had a wonderful mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
And I attribute, like Abraham Lincoln, my success, I attribute to those two wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really taught us the value of love, respect, all those beautiful things that you can't buy.
That's right. That's right. If you have nothing else to add, Eunice, I can't think of anything else, and it's been a real privilege for me to have talked to you today, and I want to thank you very much.
Thank you, and I feel very privileged and honored to get to do this for you. At school, and the wife of the trustee at that time, they had a trustee in each district in the county, and they recommended the teachers to the superintendent. So I visited with her, and she had a sack full of these scraps. She was going to throw them away. She said, you're going to throw these away? Do you know if anyone could use them? I said, well, I can. So I took these scraps home with me and made these circles and put this in here and then set it up here. So that one was something that someone was going to discard. I took it home and made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have used it and used it, you can tell, because I read how to improve them, but I'll never find material to match that.
I've never seen a piece of material like this. No, it's a beautiful piece,
uh-huh.
Isn't it?
And I took this to our homemakers camp because I didn't want to take something good. And I put it on the bed, and one of the county extension agents from up in the eastern part
came downstairs. She said, I want to know who has that pretty quilt on their bed upstairs. And so she had noticed it going. She'd gone in and examined it. She had put, Aunt Letty Mitchell, had put that she wanted her quilt divided between four of her nieces. And they were divided, and then we drew one, two, three, or four in whichever pile we got. That was the quilt we got. And this was one. But here is the date on this one, March 3rd, 1908. That was before I was born, you see.
Uh-huh.
And then here are my grandmother's initials here. These are hands, and this was one of the nieces that got some. This was Ruth Cout, and this could be Edna Mitchell or Eunice Mitchell, either one, but it is Edna's. And that one's mine now. This one's Edna's here, the big one. So we have our hands put on. Now, this wasn't finished, you see, before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
It came along a little later, but here's the date on here, 6/30/1911. So you see, it took time to do this one too. And I have just kept it because it was made in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Had it on display at our quilt display out at Greenbow when Georgia Bonesteel was here through the old-fashioned days. And I had put a value on it. It's not for sale. I had put a value on it at $500. And Ruby Malk and Ann Barker went by and looked, and Ruby said, well, do you know that that is a very outstanding, that red and blue that people are hunting for quilts like that, your value is too low. She said, we're going to change that. So they just went over and put a one in front of my five. And had the $1,500. I said, well, really, it's not for sale. And it hasn't been used by me. I'm sure it's been washed. But this one was in the stack that I got when they were divided.
And this was made by your?
My grandmother Mitchell.
And what was her first name?
Nancy. Nancy Elizabeth Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you notice, she was using scraps. They're not all exactly alike. And the edging here is different to what it is with the pieces in between.
Do you know the name of this pattern, Eunice?
I have no idea.
This is an unusual pattern, too.
It looks like you could call it a nine patch in here because this makes it, but it has this extra edge around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, too, this block in here, of course, it could still be your nine patch here with this variation right in here, but I have never seen one that has this around the edges of it.
Maybe she combined her patterns just
that's
like
that's right.
These.
She maybe just came along and did them to have it different. But it's a very pretty pattern, I think.
And when did you get this quilt?
I got this about 1935.
Do you have any idea when she made the quilt?
No, but she passed away in 1926.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the year she passed away because it was the year that I graduated from high school. And that's how I can remember that. So it had been made several years prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
That is my flower garden, grandmother's flower garden.
And you made this one?
And I made this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, there again, I would say with my mother's help, when I'd be cutting while she'd be sitting, and if she were not working on something, she'd say, let me do part of it. And I'd say, okay, that is very welcome. So she worked very much with us. In fact, she lived with our games, our work, everything that we did, she did.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. She just stayed right by. And there I went to the greens again, you see.
Mm-hmm. And when did you make this one? Do you remember?
It was before I was married, too. I would say it in the 20s.
In the 20s? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I sort of got away from it in there a while when I was... And this is my little Dutch girl, and it's the one that I embroidered every bonnet differently. Mm-hmm. I know two of the girls and have, of course, now I have the colors all the way through, the purple, the yellow, the green, pink, and blue. All the rows are the same colors, but every girl has a different pattern on her bonnet. And I just made those up as I went along. I'd maybe look at a picture and see, and I think, well, I'll just put that picture on there. So this is, and see, it's beginning to wear some of my threads. I've used it a good deal.
Uh-huh.
And then when I started to set it up, instead of just putting the block there, my mother said, why don't you put a star in there? It's harder to do, of course, to get these 8 points in here. But since my mother said that should be done that way, that's the way we did it.
Uh-huh.
And it made it pretty, and I'm glad that she had that suggestion, because it helped.
Did you make this one before the flower garden?
I believe it came after the flower
garden. After the flower garden?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have now pieces cut out. My great niece, my sister Madge's granddaughter, mm-hmm. had a baby quilt with the dolls on it. It's worn out. So they suggested that I might, or hinted that I might help them. So I have dolls cut out now to make her a quilt for a single bed. And I have the little boys cut out to make her little brother. I thought, well, I won't show partiality. I'll make him one too. So I have the little boys cut out for his quilt and little girls for her when and if I get to them. But
I like the way this is set together with the stars.
Oh, I like those stars very much.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
This isn't a quilt. It isn't a quilt.
Not yet.
Until it's finished.
Uh-huh.
But this is my spider web, the one that I'm going to use the...
Oh, that's beautiful, Eunice.
And it is an immense size.
What size is this?
This is king size.
King size?
I haven't measured it, but I am going to set it up with the little print, and I already have the print bought for it. And we went through our scrap bag, mine and my sister's, my neighbor's, everybody that had anything that I could get, and used all of this. There's only one pattern for this. And each of them, when you piece them, you have to reverse your pattern and you cut paper. I use newspapers and cut the pattern, and then you sew your material on it and then trim each side, and that makes your pattern come out. And you can use the tiniest little pieces. When you look in at the center, see what tiny little pieces you can come through and use in these centers. You can use every scrap that you have. You don't have to throw anything away.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a neighbor who is in homemakers, and she wanted this. She liked it. But she then set hers up with pink. She has hers quilted. I do not have mine, but she finished hers. But she took it upstairs and put it on her bed, and she went and bought her material. That's why I say, be sure you have good material, because this is a finished product you want to keep. And she got this. She went to a place and she said she thought she could get the material much cheaper, and she did. But when she put that on her bed, that pink has faded and has ruined her quilt.
Is that right?
It's the most horrible looking quilt now. When you see all of this where it was set up, it's just in splotches. It'll be pink and then it'll be practically white where it has bleached it out the sun when it came in on it.
Mm-hmm. Now how are you going to quilt this one?
I don't know.
You don't?
In fact, I'm trying to think that maybe I'm going to be like a lot of these people that have quilts that they have so many to show every year. I'm going to have it quilted. I've never had anyone quilt one for me, but I'm thinking seriously of letting that be done now.
On this one.
Uh-huh.
And I have it, of course, she has been dead since 72. And I don't know what year she pieced this one. And I have it with the cotton and the lining and everything with it. And I was going to do it with a hook, quilt it, but I've never really got the nerve to do it. But this is all made from scraps of our sewing at home she sewed for the three girls. And these were scraps that she had, so she did the star. And this one was pieced on paper too. And then the paper torn off of the back on mm-hmm. it too. Mm-hmm. And she could use all the little scraps for it, you see. And they just hit and miss. She did them like that. So I don't know how I will do it. But as I say, now this, I basted this, I would say about 1972 or 3. I basted that together to do it, and there it is.
Mm-hmm. Your mother must have liked stars, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah.
She liked them very much. I believe that was her favorite pattern.
Her favorite?
Uh-huh. It was a star, because she just enjoyed doing them. And she was very good. I have a little difficulty sometimes getting my stars in at the points here, but she didn't seem to have that much problem.
No, she didn't. They all meet very nicely. Mm-hmm.
But she was very, very accurate with her sewing. She never had any sewing or anything. And she didn't use patterns when we were children. Going, see how she's fixed the corner?
That I really like this.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just mitering here,
yeah,
even.
Yeah.
Now here's a little one, little tiny bit off right there for her. And I've never seen one with a corner fixed like that.
No, I haven't either, Eunice.
Except this one.
That's very unusual, very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice the difference in the size of these quilts, they were made very small at the time when my grandmother was quilting. And see how small this mm-hmm. one is? But now that I've grown as tall as I am, notice how big mine are. And even my mother's, the star is much bigger here because my dad was also better than 6 feet.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And so she decided that we needed a little bigger quilt. So. But you can tell this one is old. See the age spots?
And this was your grandmother?
This is my grandmother Mitchell.
Uh-huh.
My grandmother Burgess did not make quilts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where my mother got all of her sewing ability, but she said grandma sewed for them when they were very small, and that when she was about 12, grandma was making her a dress. And she was standing by her, and she'd say, well, don't do it that way, do this. And she said, Grandma just got up from the machine, said, if you know so much about it and what you want, just sit down and do it. And she sat down, and she sewed from then on. And she just, every day she was doing something. She didn't waste any of her time. She had something that she was working.
Uh-huh.
This one, if you notice, isn't very accurate like my mother's. See your corners?
Oh, yes.
They do not come in, and it isn't quilted nearly, and where it's set up, it looks like it's crooked.
Uh-huh.
But grandmother Mitchell, her grandma Mitchell, did a lot of them, but they were not as accurate
uh-huh.
as my mother's.
Yeah.
So this one, I would say, maybe it was made in the late teens or early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the stack that I got to.
You got a treasure trove, didn't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was here. She was doing the wheel, And in her book, she had a quilt that was predominantly these colors. And this is just the centerpiece. Then she has spools pieced together on the side. It's set up all the way around and various things. So I thought, well, I'll start and I'll get that the center done.
You've got the center.
Got the center done. And this that I have over here, I wanted a cat pattern. A little child was standing in the hall when I went in. The superintendent up at Raceland, first grader, with her coloring book under her arm. And I said, does your coloring book have the picture of a cat in it? She said, I don't think so, but let's look. So we looked. That book was there, just what I wanted.
Is that
so
right?
So I traced in, and I have blue cats, yellow cats, green cats. I have them all appliqued, but I don't have them set up. But it's right nice. And then I have my Scotty dog at the top. And my mother bought the pattern. And it was a piece. The first one that she did, she pieced it. Then she said,
you've got a kid here.
Yeah. She wondered if it could be appliqued on. And she wanted one made for her grandson, Magel's little one. And she said, do you think that could be appliqued on there? I said, I don't see any reason why it couldn't. So I took the pattern and I fixed it and basted them on and I appliqued it, and she gave it to her, we quilted it then. And she gave it to her real grandson for a gift. Well, his quilt had worn out. And I was going to make them one for their wedding gift when he got married then. And I had a piece, and that's the one I have in upstairs now. Of course, now I haven't had it in that long, but I've had it in too long to tell. But I was going to give him another one for his wedding gift. And their oldest child now will be in the middle schools next year, and I still don't have his wedding. So you can see how fast I work. But I do have this extra one. I don't have the border on it. So I have two of these to be done. The one that's upstairs in my frame, this one. Enough to do a long time, isn't it? Enough girls of each color. The red, the orange, the blue, red, orange, yellow, green.
Oh, how pretty.
Blue, indigo, and violet.
Oh, how pretty.
And my Dutch girls are going to be in lines like that all across. Here'll be the red, the orange, the yellow, the green, the blue, the indigo, and the violet. And I'll have my rainbow colors in there. And I did their trimmings on the machine. Instead of embroidering them myself, I used all my little fancy stitches on my machine to decorate their bonnets. I've done help with two of these. I did one, and we gave it to the mother advisor of the state in the rainbow. And then one of my good friends, very, very good friends, was mother advisor of our local assembly, so I did one and machine quilted and gave it to her. I did a Scotty dog, machine quilted it and gave it to my sister-in-law. So I do those, but this one, I hope to get it set up someday, but I think it'll be real pretty with all these rainbow colors.
Oh, I do too.
Maybe I'll have that done to get to the quilt symposium one of these days.
How about next year, Eunice?
I won't promise that quickly, dear.
Okay.
No, I won't make a promise. Just give me time.
Okay.
And